How much are we paying for an economy that pollutes?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. A report out today measures the environmental impact of the world's 3,000 largest companies and how much that impact costs investors. It was commissioned by a United Nations program for responsible investing. Marketplace's Eve Tro is here live to tell us about it. Hi, Eve.
Hi.
So when you look at 3,000 huge companies, I'm guessing you don't see a positive impact on the environment. What is the toll?
This study found that environmental damage and pollution, deforestation, that kind of thing, costs more than $2 trillion worldwide. Yes, $2 trillion. And for companies that do cause damage, it says more than half of their profits are vulnerable, which means their earnings may look great on paper, but if they're found liable for environmental damage, they could potentially lose half of that.
And is this report just about socially responsible investing, or is there more to it than that?
There's more. This report is really a wake-up call for all big mutual funds that invest in everything. Look at something like the BP oil spill. The company's stock plunged. People lost a lot of money. And what this report says is, hey, investors, here's how much of your money is on the line. And if investors want to gauge this environmental risk, businesses aren't always going to be eager to offer up things like their factory emissions or safety practices. So the report also says, hey, you guys have to push to get more of this information.
Well, wouldn't it be easier to just not invest in oil or mining if you're trying to avoid environmental risk?
Well, when we're talking about big investors, that's just not realistic. These industries do exist. They do make money. They're not going away. But as the world starts to regulate things like carbon emissions and they want to assess more environmental risk, this is going to be more important. Peter DeSimeone at the company Social Invest put it this way.
So knowing that companies are going to have to operate in a carbon-constrained world, who's best poised to do so?
This report is a step to get people to start figuring that out.
Okay, that's Marketplace's Eve Tro. Eve, thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
And as we just heard, we're in a carbon-constrained world. International talks to stop global warming aren't going anywhere. Congress is not too interested in a carbon cap. There's another way to cool the planet, potentially, but it's controversial. This month, a congressional committee will issue a report on something called geoengineering. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer explains.
It sounds like science fiction, but some scientists say they can control the climate by coating the atmosphere with particles that deflect sunlight or by growing ocean organisms that feed on greenhouse gases. Geoengineering is popular because it doesn't require cuts in greenhouse gas emissions. It gets rid of the gases instead. But some climate scientists say it's a temporary solution at best. Brenda Eckwurzel is with the Union of Concerned Scientists.
It's kind of like putting your finger in the dike. But the pressure of the water is still building behind the dike, and you haven't gotten rid of the root cause.
Thomas Ackerman teaches atmospheric sciences at the University of Washington. He says we can't ignore geoengineering because some countries are already funding research.
That attracts people who think that they can find a way to make money.
Ackerman says the world needs a consensus on geoengineering before one country resets the world's thermostat unilaterally. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Now we take the temperature of the stock markets. Stocks are higher every place this morning, especially in Japan. Japan's central bank cut its key interest rate to virtually zero today, and it's looking to buy government bonds and other assets. Sound familiar? Yet another country trying to spur its economy. Of course, that has the effect of weakening currency. That's happening in the U.S. as well. And that explains why gold is at another record high, $1,325. On Wall Street yesterday, the S&P 500 was down about 0.8%. The Dow Industrials lost 78 points, about 0.7%. The close was 10,751.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation Defender, monitoring, protecting, and helping improve your online reputation while deleting personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com. By Novo Nordisk. Since 1923, innovative developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices at NovoNordisk-US.com. And by MassMutual, offering business owners financial guidance for the long term. Information at massmutual.com.
Jill Biden, wife of the vice president, is hosting the first ever White House Summit on Community Colleges today in Washington. The Obama administration is banking on the low-cost schools to help raise college graduation rates and retrain unemployed workers. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott reports.
President Obama wants community colleges to graduate 5 million more students by the year 2020. But graduation rates at the schools are notoriously low. Thomas Bailey directs the Community College Research Center at Teachers College in New York. He hopes today's summit will help change that.
I don't think there's any question that colleges can do a better job. And we hope that with attention, with better research foundation, that they'll be able to do that.
Supporters of community colleges say graduation rates don't tell the whole story because so many of their students transfer to four-year colleges. But Northwestern University professor James Rosenbaum says that's part of the problem. Community colleges are focused on steering students toward bachelor's degrees, a process he says often takes 6 to 10 years.
It's a long slog for these students to get through to the BA, and we don't currently give them intervening credentials that have any value in the labor market, and we should be doing that.
Community college leaders say they do give students valuable job skills. Jack Quinn is president of Erie Community College in Buffalo. He says his school has teamed up with a power company to train workers to climb utility poles.
Every single one of these 17 who are in the training program after a year will go to work at close to $20 an hour or more.
The Obama administration wants more partnerships like this. The president announced a new initiative yesterday to connect community colleges with local employers. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And finally, British researchers have invented a nonstick chewing gum. The company got a $15 million grant from investors to develop a special polymer that will not adhere permanently to sidewalks, theater seats, and picnic tables. Could be profitable. A 10-pack of gum will sell for $1.70, which the CEO says is Willy Wonka with pharmaceutical margins. Still can't swallow it, though. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.